Hey, what's up, everybody? On this week's Sport Life podcast, we talked to longtime NFL player and current administrator in the BYU athletic department, Lee Johnson. He talked about some stories from his life in high school that really helped him build resilience. He talked about the many coaches he played for, 17 years, seven different organizations. He also talked about athletes and how they can impact their community around them. It was a wonderful discussion. We hope you enjoy.
Welcome to the Sportlight Podcast for parents, coaches, and athletes. The Sportlight refers to the time in an athlete's life when they have increased ability to affect the culture around them and the increased opportunity to learn life's lessons through sports. This podcast aims to help parents and coaches capitalize on their athletes' precious time in the Sportlight. The Sportlight Podcast is brought to you by Especially for Athletes program.
Well, we're grateful to have Lee Johnson here with us, longtime NFL football player, played 18 years in the NFL for, let's see, I have the list. We talked a little before, Lee, the Oilers, the Bills, the Browns, the Bengals, the Patriots, the Eagles, and the Vikings. That's quite the tour of the league.
Yeah. It's only a list of kicker. You got to be a kicker to have a list like that. I don't think anyone else is going to have a list that long.
Well, and I think you have to be a kicker sometimes, unless it's very much an anomaly to last 18 years in the NFL. So
it is. It truly is an anomaly. I pinch myself sometimes. I still to this day can't figure out how it happened. But when I was in it, it was all about it. So
yeah,
here we are.
Well, and now you serve as the assistant director of development for all 21 sports at BYU. You help raise some money with some donors there, and that must be fun. That must be a fun role there.
It is an absolute blast. I never thought I could have so much fun. The best part about it is relationships with people who love the brand at BYU and love sports, and they recognize the power of the brand and what it does, not just for the athletes, but for the mission statement of the university and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It's pretty powerful. It really is. Yeah.
Well, how awesome. Thank you so much for taking the time. As you know about our program a little bit. We do everything we can to help young people really in two areas of their life to learn life's lessons through sports, to take this great curriculum of athletics and to learn lessons throughout their time playing that will help them in their life and all other things in their life. And then also to use their position as athletes to help and lift those in their school and their community and those around them, even in their own home. And so,
yeah.
So I would love to ask you some questions along those lines today, and so excited from all the perspective you have playing with all those teams for 18 years, playing for BYU collegiately, and then if you could think back to your time in high school as well and just draw upon some of the experiences that you've had to help young people who listen to this and parents and coaches who listen to this, just to have some perspective that might help them as they try to get the most out of their athletic experiences.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. I love the power of sport in life and life development. It's amazing what it can do.
Tell me about that. Tell me your thoughts on that.
Well, I've always felt that, I mean, since I was, as early as I can remember, I played soccer in Texas growing up. It was all I wanted to do, and it was a natural thing for me. It wasn't something my parents had to make me do. I wanted to do it, and they facilitated the opportunity for me to do it. They made it easy, and they encouraged me, but most importantly, they didn't force me to do anything. I naturally did it because it was just something that I wanted to do, and I think that is something I think is very powerful with youth when you recognize that they naturally desire to do something with a ball, whether it's a football, soccer ball, tennis ball, volleyball, you name it. And it's something that just for some naturally happens. For others, it might be forced. A dad who played ball and is frustrated that their kids, I wanted my kids to be kickers, but they wanted to be rugby players. So I let them, they were kickers on the rugby team, but they didn't go down the path I went down. And it was, sure I was bummed out, but I handled it in a delicate way to where it didn't impact and make them lose their confidence or make them think I had a less desire to love them or whatever that can impact them. But yeah, I think the game of any sport is powerful in training life's lessons.
Absolutely. So if you look back over your time, now that you've finished your playing career and you've gone on and done a number of things professionally, can you think back to some lessons, some critical things you learned as an athlete that has really helped you as you've gone into these other elements of your life?
Yeah, I think I remember starting football. I was a soccer player in Texas, in Dallas, and I moved from Dallas to Houston, where back in the late 70s, early 80s, they did not have organized soccer all through Texas. It was mainly in Dallas. So when I moved to Houston, I was stuck without a sport, and I was in a panic mode because I had just moved as a sophomore in high school. My first year, I was in love with all my friends, with all my sport, and here my folks take me out of this wonderland and take me to Houston where there was nothing. And it forced me to make a decision, and I was very nervous about it. It created a huge problem with my folks because I, being 15, almost 16 at the time, really grew to dislike my dad for making me do this awful move in the middle of my life. I'm a soccer player. I wanted to be a great soccer player. I love Pelé. I love everything about just soccer. But had I not moved, I never would have been a football player. Never would have had the chance. And when I moved to Houston, I remember the football team was coming out, and some of the guys had heard that I was a soccer player, that I could kick the ball really far. And they asked me to kick a football while they were coming out for practice. And I kicked a 50-yard field goal as a junior. And the team and the coaches went crazy. How did you do that? And I thought, no big deal. I was a soccer player. I could kick the ball a mile. I was always known to have a strong leg. Well, that moment was the moment that I became a football player. My friends made me, and I only had two because that was brand new in this community. They made me try out for football, and that's what started my career only as a football player. But it was difficult because in Texas, you don't just play kicker or punter. You play a football. You're a lineman, running back, receiver, and man will have you kick. So I did not have a great relationship with coaches, and coaches did all they could to make it hard for me to reach my goals and dreams of being a now football player. And that's another thing that I think is so delicate as a relationship, and the impact that coaches have on younger athletes and how they can make or break these young kids and just destroy their dreams and visions. And it almost happened in Texas in my move to the Woodlands, Texas as my first year player.
Yeah. Well, and I hear one of our principles that we really talk with young athletes about is the principle of resilience and how important it is to be resilient in your life. And I see that in your story. You know, you could either be crushed by the move, which of course we're crushed, but it's the way we respond. I love that E plus R equals O, right? And it's event plus response equals outcome. And a lot of times in our life, we don't have control over the events of our life, but we always have control over the response that we give to those events. And I see that in your story, and I'm wondering what were some of the things that went on in young Lee Johnson's mind that going from being crushed by a move to coaches being really hard on you, what kept you going during that time? What was the inner dialogue that maybe some of our young athletes can learn from?
I knew I had a gift, for one. I knew I was always the guy that everyone wanted to be on the kickball team in elementary school. And everyone wanted to be the guy because I had this strong leg. I don't understand what happened. I developed it at a young age. But when the time got crazy and I couldn't play soccer, I ended up creating a club team in the Woodlands, Houston, after I started playing football. And it really saved me in that I saw that by gutting it out through the football and having to put up with the Texas style football, which is very hardcore, especially in the 80s.
Yeah.
Somewhat abusive verbally. It's just the way it is. Football is and can be a very abusive, verbally abusive, tough skin. You got to be tough skin. Had I not found the passion of soccer combined with my skills of playing football, it would have been difficult for me. And it allowed me to kind of have something else. If it was just football and I could not go back and play soccer during this same time period, it might have been really hard for me. But because I was strong-legged and I could do something that other people couldn't do, I felt unique. And I felt a sense of value and worth that even though these coaches were wanting me to do other things and they didn't understand why I would just want to be a kicker, that I found out that, look, I think I've got something here unique and special. I can utilize it playing soccer, but I can really see the big picture as maybe taking this talent I have to college and to the next level. So I recognized that and I was able to stick to that and overcome all the crap, so to speak, that comes with coaches that just didn't have your best interest in mind, maybe.
Yeah. In fact, that ability to resilience, part of resilience is looking around at your new reality.
Yeah.
And making the best.
Sure. Yeah.
And for some that happens after injury. For some, that happens after a move or after even getting cut from a sport, you know, and then looking at, okay, what else is there? How am I going to respond to this? And so,
yeah,
that's awesome.
Well, it's a risky move. And here's why I think it's risky. And I think I got lucky. When you're in as entrenched as I was in soccer, it was my life. I traveled to Europe. I had done so many things and it gets taken from you. And you're put in an area where there isn't what you loved and you're passionate about. You got a choice to make, and you're gonna. There's no cliche I want to use, but if you don't really know where you want to be, and you're still trying to figure yourself out, you're probably going to end up making some decisions that could not have a great outcome. I consider myself lucky in that my passion about the game, whether it be soccer or football, but my passion about sport was more important to me than being ticked off at my dad and saying, okay, fine, screw it. I can't find my passion here. I'm going to choose to go hang out with these guys over here and get wrapped up in that lifestyle. And I had a decision to make because it's easy to do, because when you're frustrated and you're angry and you're not happy, you can, in a way, to maybe get your parents back or show them, you can make a bad choice that might rope you into something you don't want to do. And I consider, like I said, myself lucky that I had the passion and I had the ability. My folks didn't set me up on a path to go find a soccer team or go play football. This was all me. It was all built around my passion for sport. Not all kids have that. Not all kids have the ability. But my recommendation would be, if you find something you love and it gets taken from you, it doesn't mean you can't do it. It might just be done in a different area in a different way. But what don't you ever do is to go try to go down a different path that you know is a bad path to get someone back, to show someone, I told you it would ruin my life. I told you this wouldn't work. And just develop this attitude of anger. And I just think I got really lucky because I was a sophomore in high school. Man, I could really have put myself in a bad situation, and I chose not to.
That's awesome, because I think of kids who get injured, for example. Sometimes it's not being mad at someone, but it's mad at a situation. Yeah. And then they just lose this. Everything was taken away from me. Forget this. And then they start making these poor choices that ruin the other parts, the other things that could have happened in their life. They're so hanging on to this thing that they lost that then they lose everything. And I love what you're saying. Instead of responding with anger, respond with, here's what I hear you say, like, respond with curiosity, respond with effort, respond with, okay, what else can I do? What roads are still open to me? What doors are still open? And let me take all my passion and energy and let's put it down that road instead of forget everything and rebelling and trying to get people back or check out yourself.
Yeah, and there takes a sense of maturity there, a social maturity, because not many people are thinking right at 15, 16. And the role of a parent, I think, is critical in that area in supporting and encouraging, but never belittling. To me, the minute you start belittling and making a kid feel like they're worth of a soul, they're not as impactful, or they're just not as good as they used to be. You know, that is an awful place to go. And my parents were super supportive, but I was also felt like I was mature enough to not go down, to know I didn't want to go down a path that didn't have a good ending. So, but maturity, you just got to have some social maturity, I think, and that comes with development and parenting and that whole thing.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Just taking a quick break here to remind you that we have the Sportlight, the book. This has all the nitty-gritty principles of, especially for athletes, those core principles of our program that we go around and teach all around the country. It is a great book for young athletes, for parents of athletes, for coaches. We hope you'll pick up a copy. You could go to e4a.org. That's e4a.org, and pick up a copy there. We hope you'll pick up a copy and share it with someone who will be blessed by it. Let's get back to the interview. I want to go down a different road here, something you mentioned earlier, but you know, you played, as we said, for the Oilers, Bills, Browns, Bengals, Patriots, Eagles, Vikings. You played at BYU during, I believe, the Lavelle Edwards time. Is that correct? And that time period. You were talking about some coaches and some style of coaching that sometimes belittles kids, you know, puts kids down or destroys kids, crushes kids. Having played for so many coaches, what advice would you have for coaches, for parents who coach their children? Like, how could they be firm and demand, you know, like effort and all of that, but not cross a line that you think becomes damaging?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. You got to be firm. I love coaches that got on me, that rode me, that expected the best out of me. Nothing wrong with expectations and wanting you to be the best and expecting you to prepare to be the best. And even discipline, if you don't perform or you don't get the results you want. There's, to me, that's all the beauty of sport. That's all the beauty of life training that comes through sport. But if you don't follow that up with love in some form, you got to equal the deposits with the withdrawals, and you've got to make the deposits to bring that kid back. And that kid wants it. I think kids want to be disciplined. They want to be told what to do. They want to be encouraged, but they also, more than anything else, want to be loved. And they want to know that coach loves them and respects them and wants the best for them. So through all the coaches that I've had some lemons and some coaches that I will never want to play for ever again. And it's because of the way they would treat you, and they would never have the ability to make a deposit. Everything was a withdrawal. And those are downers. And those kind of coaches, you know, I don't know. You look at the Landrys, the Knowles, the Belichicks, and yeah, I played for Belichick. And, you know, he's an amazing coach. And look, pros are a little bit different because you're getting paid, and it's just you got to be man enough and tough enough. I'm talking about these coaches during your when you're in junior high and high school, and even in college when you're still trying to find yourself and shape yourself. That anyway, yeah. I think those were some things that I just remember that were so important.
I love the deposit, you know, the versus withdrawal, you know, the coaches that just ride kids and ride kids that's never good enough, you know.
They just wreck them. And some of them love it. Some of them think that they're
they're doing a great job just watching this kid suffer. And they just coaches sometimes can just ruin these young men and women.
Yeah. Do you have a coach that when you think back to one that made a big impact on your life, but like who that is and what was it about them that made such a big impact on you?
Well, Lavelle Edwards. I came out of Texas playing my junior and my senior year with old school, smack them in the mouth, no deposits, all withdrawals, just rip you a new one if you don't perform kind of coaches. I was hanging on for dear life. And then I get to BYU and I see the power of faith-based coaching, maybe. Maybe that's the best way to say it. And I think that is a great combination. Someone, a man of faith, which Lavelle is, and the University of BYU is. And I think that that's a natural, it's a natural powerhouse because of the deposits are endless with the withdrawals. But you've got nonstop deposits because they're good people who are just trying the hardest that they can. And I saw lives at BYU and the impact of that style changed lives. And we were a great force through the 80s and 90s, even the 2000s with Lavelle Edwards. His style was, it really, first off, Lavelle was an overseer. He hired coordinators to kind of run the show. But if they didn't fit his style and agenda, they would know about it. So his coordinators, although they were tough, they understood the games of deposits. But, and if they didn't, Lavelle did. And he would always come back when a Norm Chow or a Mike Holmgren or a Fred Winningham or a Ken Schmidt got a little crazy. Lavelle would be so aware, and he would come to the rescue, so to speak, to make sure these athletes understood that there was love, not just hardcore coaching, and which is football. Again, football, you got to be tough. But that he would come in and soften the blow a little bit. That was his gift, and that was something that I really saw. I saw that in Sam Weich when I was at the Bengals. He had a gift. Jerry Glanville, when I was at the Oilers, did not have that gift. He was old school, hardcore, you know, MF, rip your face off. And I'm a believer that you get fear is a great motivator. I got no problem with fear being a great motivator. Again, I love someone challenging me, and I love fear as a motivator, but it's not sustainable if you cannot have a little attaboy every once in a while. Yeah. And Lavelle had that gift. Jerry Glanville did not. Sam Weich did. Bill Belichick was just iconic. Andy Reid over at the Eagles was Lavelle Jr., iconic. Marv Levy at Buffalo was amazing. You know, these iconic coaches, man, they're just gifted. They just get it. They just get it.
Yeah. When you say the word deposit, can you tell us, I'm imagining like a dad who's coaching his son right now who says, all right, I want to be tough. I want to have high expectations, but I want to be able to make these deposits. What are some, like, what does that look like for Lavelle Edwards to give someone a deposit? Like, what would he
do? My gosh. A deposit is when you recognize the good. You're always going to hear about the bad, but a deposit comes when you say, wow, that tackle you made, how did you do that? Where did you read? How did you read that play? And the way you wrapped up and took him to the ground was beautiful. The catch you made across the middle, that had to be scary. So proud of you. That is amazing. Well done. Those are deposits. Those are things that go a million miles with kids. And even with college kids, when you make a deposit like that, all you hear about is just the negatives. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. You didn't do this. You didn't that. And that can wear on you. But, man, when you match that with deposits, then you see some real growth.
Yeah. And if I understand you correctly, all those you went through that you were saying iconic, you know, Andy Reid's, the Lavelle Edwards, the Bill Belichick's, you're saying that was one of their gifts, was to know when to do that.
Yeah. Bill less than Lavelle and Andy and Sam Weich. Uh-huh. Marv Levy. You know, Bill was just Bill. Bill didn't say much at all. His gift was building a team and building a scheme, mm-hmm. and then executing it and putting the right players in the right spot. Look what he did to Kyle Van Noy. You know how he, well, this isn't about football, but anyway, just the ability to know where to put players was Bill's gift.
Yeah,
power gift.
Awesome. Awesome. Wow. Well, thanks for that. I think that's a nugget we'll take from this. Just having all those coaches you've played for and observe now in your role at BYU, you get to observe across 21 sports and see strengths and weaknesses. And
so
your insights on that is awesome. Anything else come to mind in regard to coaching or parenting that's on your mind before we move on to another topic?
Not really. Just support. Anytime, I've always felt when I know someone has my back, whether it's my parents or my coaches or my friends, then you can flourish, because there's no downside because they got your back. And when someone's got your back, you can catapult and reach great heights. It's when someone doesn't have your back and there's so much downside, it's hard to function. It's hard to be your best. So parents, have your kids back and make sure they know it, that you got their back. Coaches, if you want to be successful, have your teammates back. Yeah, that would be my one bit of counsel.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, you know, the second part of our podcast that we do here, that we say in our promo and also what our organization is a lot about, is that athletes have this spotlight, this influence that allows them to have an impact on their culture. And we're trying to inspire young people to use their position as athletes to help the lonely, to lift those who are downtrodden, or to bring in those who are on the outside looking in their high schools, and to help them feel not just included, but valued. I'm just wondering if you have any thoughts on that part of our mission that you could share with young people that would help them realize the power they could have to impact the life of another.
I love that. And that is something that has been so important to me throughout my high school. But mainly, I was kind of bullied as a junior high school kid. I would have loved to have had. And in junior high, it's kind of hard because we're all still trying to figure ourselves out, what role we're playing. But in high school, I admire people so much. And I forgot the program I was with. I was at a golf outing, and I was in that. And the whole idea was just to keep an eye out, keep your head on a swivel for those in school that are in the corner or eating lunch by themselves or just getting bullied or whatever. The impact of an athlete is powerful. For whatever reason, in America or even in the world, athletes are looked up to. They're viewed as either they're celebrities or they're the cool kids or they're just the guys that got it going on. And I think a lot of that is because, again, the training ground of athletics prepares you for so much. The highs and the lows that come with sport and learning how to deal with those highs and the lows is powerful. And you have an edge because you get that at such a young age that you know how to work through those things. So I think with that, you have a responsibility. And what a beautiful thing if you don't feel you do have the responsibility to take it upon yourself to be the leader, to look out for kids who are by themselves or are lonely or are just down and out. And if you can't see that, you haven't walked through a high school hallway before. They're everywhere. And they need a boost, and just a simple hello, showing a little bit of interest, goes a long way. And I think there's a power and a smile and in a question. And just, again, to let that kid know, hey, that guy talked to me. He might have my back. He might look out for me. And I would recommend anyone in high school who has any celebrity, whether it be in any sport, to look out for that person and make sure that you just every day make that your one of your number one goals is to just take care of people, treat people great. I was asked to speak at a thing 10, 20 years ago. What is one thing you learn in college that you would never change? And you know, I think they were thinking, well, you need to do school better, whatever. My answer was treat people great. When you treat people great, they're going to remember that. What is the saying? Then people don't remember what you say, remember what you do. They always remember how you make them feel. You make people feel great, they're always going to remember. You're always going to need help. We always need help. And when you treat people great and you make them feel good, they're going to remember that. They're going to be there to have your back the minute you need some help. And I would just say to these athletes, take care of people, treat people great, because one day that kid in the corner who's having a hard time, he might be the next Bill Gates and you might be calling on him for a job.
I love that. Just treat people great. And I love something else you said there. I loved all of what you said, but could you imagine the power if every high school athlete went and just said, I'm going to lift a person today. You know, yeah. I'm going to lift just a person. I'm going to help someone feel seen or noticed or valued or included. And if everyone just went and did that, with the spotlight is what we call it, that celebrity that our country and the world gives to athletes. I know there would be kids at schools that were less lonely, that felt more included, that felt better, were happier. That's a simple thing, a simple invitation you extend that we call it eyes up, do the work. Eyes up, look for people who need to do the work to lift them. There's power.
I love that. I love your theme. I can tell you've got great one tagliners that are powerful. I love that.
Well, good Lee, stuff. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. Is there anything else as you think about young athletes, their parents, coaches, knowing that, you know, we get to speak to thousands of them every year. Is there anything else you would want them to know from Lee Johnson? With all your experience, your current role, what would you want them to know?
Get your kids busy. Idle time is dangerous time. Get your kids busy. Support them. Put them in activities. The best way to find out what you want to do is to find out what you don't want to do. And you don't find out what you don't want to do unless you're doing a bunch of things. Excuse me. I'm not sure I said you get my point. You find out what you want to do by finding out what you don't want to do. So that means you got to do things. Get your kids involved in camps and activities. And if you don't have the resources, then maybe there's some through the boys club or boys or girls club or whatever, but get involved in their life, teach them things, and get them involved in sport or anything that keeps them not idle.
That's so important.
That would be my counsel. Idle time is dangerous.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Lee, it has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining the Spotlight podcast, and good luck with everything that you do. If anyone was interested in working with BYU Sports and part of that development side of what you do, what advice do you have for them?
Oh, man. Well, we love everyone that loves BYU. We love everyone, period. But we love BYU. We love the brand and what it represents. And we hope that, you know, if you don't know anything about BYU, turn on one of our games. You'll be totally intrigued by what we do. We've got a great brand. We continue to build the brand. We're a faith-based university. We don't ever apologize for what we stand for as a Christian university representing the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So it's a beautiful place. But thank you, guys. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And thank you, everyone, for joining the Spotlight podcast. As always, like it, share it, rate it. That'll help us get the word out. And eyes
all
up,
right.
Do the work.
Do the work.
This has been the Spotlight podcast from Especially for Athletes, sponsored by Coca-Cola. You can learn more about Especially for Athletes by visiting the website at especiallyforathletes.org. You can also learn more about the book, The Spotlight, by Shad Martin and Dustin Smith at especiallyforathletes.org/book.